welcome to our next broadcast. We're in John chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse number 43. Have your Bible ready. John chapter 4, verse 43, we read, "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee." He's departing from Samaria, where they've had a tremendous, tremendous revival. So he's going to Galilee, and it says in verse 44, "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." That's where he's going. Nazareth was in Galilee, you remember. He's going there. He knows that things are not going to be the same. When he gets there, he's leaving a revival atmosphere amongst the Gentiles to return to Galilee, where there will be no revival, but there will be a great rejection of Jesus Christ among his own people. How sad is that? Well, we read, "Then when he came into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." Now, we just said they wouldn't receive him. He said that he's not received in his own country, and then it says they received him. How do we put that together? Well, first of all, it says here that they rejected his message. They received him. Look at it carefully. "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did." They were not interested in the things he said. They were interested in the things he did. "Oh, yeah, you can heal me. You can give me a better life on earth." They didn't want to hear about what he had to say as far as them being sinners and needing to repent. So he leaves a revival to return to Galilee. I have a couple of questions about that. He leaves this great revival. We have seen in our last broadcast that multitudes of people got saved here at Samaria. I have a question for our hyper-dispensationalists. Do you think that the Lord would lead all these people to himself and then say, "Well, hang in there, fellas, in 15 or 20 years we get around the middle of the book of Acts, or the end of book of Acts, as some think. Give it 15 or 20 years and we'll get a church going. I hope you can make it here on your own." That is beyond stupidity. Not only that, we find in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 31 that when Paul was saved, then, it says, had the churches rest at Samaria. Oh, there must have been churches at Samaria then. Of course there was. Now, they were not organized until later on when they got Paul together and they came to Antioch and they got him, and Paul was the one who knew how to organize them, because he had met with Jesus on the mountain there, actually the same mountain where God had met with Moses. Paul met with Jesus and got instructions. Moses got instructions for that Old Testament period. Paul got instructions for the New Testament local church age, and he knew what to do, so they went and got him. But it's foolish to think that the Lord would lead all these people, not only in Samaria. He was leading people to the Lord in all kinds of places, and they're all listed there in Acts chapter 9 and 31, but Samaria is included. Well, the Lord leaves this revival atmosphere in verse number 43. He goes back. We're sure they'll receive what he does. Oh, yeah, they like that very much, but they'll reject the message. It's kind of sad that those Gentiles back there in Samaria received the message, and God's own people refused the message, not willing to accept anything he had to say. Well, in verse 45, "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my son die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Well, he's dealing here with a nobleman. Verse 46, he's called the nobleman. Verse 49, he's called the nobleman again. He is an officer in Herod's court. And now, we have been looking at Christ dealing with Nicodemus. We are seeing him in the last broadcast, in the last chapter, dealing with a Samaritan woman. And now he's dealing with a nobleman, Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, this wicked, immoral woman of Samaria. And now here's this Gentile, this nobleman who comes down. And what we know for sure from the Word of God is that when it comes to salvation, God is no respecter of persons. Well, in verse 46, we see the place that they are at. They are at Galilee, at Cana of Galilee, the place where the first miracle took place. It is interesting to note that Galilee was a district of poor people. It was considered the third class province. Well, here we have this nobleman who comes from Herod's office. His son is sick. It says here he's sick near unto death. He heard that Jesus was at Canaan, so he traveled there about 17 miles. And he comes to Jesus. I don't know whether he got permission from Herod to go or how that worked, but he comes to Cana, the same place where the first miracle took place, and Jesus is there. Now, you can think for a moment that the people in Cana are all excited. I mean, it's a small little place. The last time he was there, he was the talk of the town, and he's here again. And they receive him when they're considering his miracles. But once again, when it comes to the message, they will reject him. Now, in verse number 48, it is very important to understand that everything that is going on here is physical. It is a physical healing. And signs were basically for Israel to prove that their kingdom was at hand. When it comes to getting saved, when it comes to salvation, there's no signs. There's the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together to bring conviction, which in turn brings repentance of sin. And we must say, yes, I will repent, or no, I won't. But there's no sign such as this. These signs here that we're looking at have basically to do with the kingdom of Israel. Now, did the nobleman get saved? I hope he did. It sort of indicates that he did. In verse number 50, regarding the healing, he said, I believe. But when you get down to verse number 53, so the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believeth, and his whole house. It would indicate there, I think, that probably he got saved in the sense of eternal salvation is concerned. He believed that he would do a miracle physically in the previous verses. Well, when we get down to chapter 5, we have such an interesting story. We can just get started on it in this broadcast. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. But after this, it says there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Verse 3 tells us there's a great multitude of sick folk there. They're blind, they're halt, they're withered, and they're waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Well, he answered him and said, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Well, we come in this chapter to the pool of Bethesda. It says it's at the sheep market. Actually, you'll notice that word is in italics. What it means, that when you see a word in italics like that, it's not in the original. What it really is here is the sheep gate that we read about in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse number 1. And so the story here is of a man who is being physically healed. We read in verse number 16, the Jews are upset and they sought to kill Christ. And then in verse number 18, they sought the more to kill him. Now, in verse 1, we see there is a feast. There's three major feasts that the Jews had. This was one of them. It's not positive which one it was. Most believe it was the Feast of the Passover. Doesn't matter. In any event, there was great crowds that would come to these feasts. Millions of people would show up for these feasts, which the Jews had to go to. Verse 2, it says they're at Bethesda. There's a pool there, and a great multitude of sick people. Now, this is a picture of the nation of Israel. They're spiritually blind. Not only that, it says in this place there was blind people, there was halted people, there was withered people. The blind, they have no perception of things that the Jews did not have any perception of the things that God was up to at that time. They were just going through their religious motions. Not only blind, but halted. That has something to do with their feet, and the direction that they were going spiritually was certainly wrong. Withered has to do with the hands and the work. Well, yeah, they're all involved in the work. They got the temple. They're going through the motions. But they are spiritually blind, and there's a great multitude of them. And it says they're waiting for the moving of the water. The water in the Bible represents the Word of God. Well, most were still there. Most of them were still there after Jesus left. One of them was healed, and the rest of them were still there. Now, that's very important to get that focus on that and to understand that, and we'll look at it more in our next broadcast. But the application here has to do with Israel and their condition, but there is also an application for the world today. They're blind, they're halted, they're withered, they have no perception unless you're born again. They don't know the direction of the things of God, the works. Some of them are very involved in doing works, but it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. Well, it says in verse 3, they were waiting for the moving of the water. Now, again, the picture here has to do with Israel, and it has to do with the law, and it says that an angel would come and move the waters. Now, in looking at it from the perspective of Israel and the law, the Bible says in Acts 7:53, the law was given by the dispensation of angels. In verse number 5, we see that this man had been sitting there for 38 years. That is very significant. We'll look at it in our next broadcast. Nothing's there by accident in the Bible. Why does it specifically mention that he was there 38 years?
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see.
Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you can never fall? Let him have his way with thee. Find a place of constant rest. Would you prove him true in providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and best for him.